Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When each moment so madly is threatening, a great and the angry deep. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Be still. Whether the wrath of the storm toss sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, be still. Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep o'er my sinking soul. And I perish, dear Master, oh, hasten and take control. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still. Whether the wrath of the storms I'll see, or demons or men or whatever it be, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, be still. Master, the terror is over, the elements sweetly rest. The sun in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor, and rest on the blissful shore. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm toss sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, be still.
Thank you. All right. Well, good morning. I hope you can hear me okay. Let me know if it's coming in good for you here. The first broadcast that I put on, I don't know, somehow I messed it up. I had to end it. And then I put this one on here. So I'm not sure exactly what happened there with that one. Anyway, but it is Friday. And I hope you had a good week, or you've been having a good week, and everything like that. Let's see. I think you should be able to hear me okay, but we'll find out here in a second here when you let me know if everything's coming in clear and you're hearing everything okay. And all that. So loud and clear. Okay. Yeah, well, I didn't have it on. That's why you weren't supposed to see me. That's when you see that blank screen, that's there for a reason. So you can't see me pick my nose. So that's the reason that's up there. Well, I'm doing fine. I just got spammed by a bunch of homos this morning. There are one in particular that decided to go down my Facebook page and put all kinds of wicked things on there. And I don't know why he would want to single me out above all, everything else, and just come to my page. He said it was his duty in life to come to my Facebook page and spam me with gay stuff, with queer stuff, and kind of weird. But I guess that's the way that it's supposed to be from the devil's crowd. They look for a way to get in, and once they find them, it's like, you know, it's Satan's, like, is that serpent that is always looking for a way to get in through the hedge, and you know, so he can defile and do what he wants. So here I am trying to erase all these nasty, dirty pictures, and I don't know if it was that one. Hey, I should show that video. I think I will show that video. Let's see here. Let me go to my handy dandy Facebook page here. Let's see. Here it is. All right. Here we go. You ready? All right. Well, that ended that real quick, didn't it? That didn't take very long, did it? Oh, man. Boy, he slapped the stupid right out of that guy. Oh, man. Listen, here's the thing that you don't put your hands on another man like that. There's still some real men out there that if you do that, they're not okay with your sodomite advances on them. They're gonna deal with it. And I don't blame them either. I've had them try all kinds of stuff. I don't let them get close enough to me. I literally, like, put my arm out. I was like, no, you're not getting that close to me. I mean, I stop them from doing it because they'll literally try to, anyway, when you're out there preaching, that's what they'll do. So, but, you know, that's life right there, man. Somebody didn't tell that guy that, you know, some people don't put up with your garbage. And he just picked the wrong dude there. And no one has to take being defiled by somebody. Because I guarantee you, that guy was going, that sodomite was going to put his body on that man. He was definitely going to do that. He'd already touched him and tried to fondle him. He was going to do more than that. Now, that's the end of that. I'm not going to talk about that. But that's just the way it is. Anyway, but, well, it is Friday, right? And there's a lot going on in the news. There's a lot going on with, right now in YouTube land and all over the internets and the Googles. There's the president, they're trying to impeach him and all this other goofy stuff that's going on that really has nothing to do with it. Whether you like the guy or not, it doesn't really matter. It's just nonsense. So, anyway, we're going to talk about Kobe Bryant here. I waited a few days. I really did, and I thought about it for a while, and I think anytime these celebrities come up, and then in America, we have a custom here in America, and the custom here in America is to put every celebrity in heaven. It's kind of like customary that if you live in America and you were a celebrity and you said God or Jesus, then we're going to automatically put you in heaven without examining your testimony, without examining what the Bible says, without examining any of those things, we're going to go ahead and just stick you in heaven and just say that, well, yep, they were Christians. And in America, especially, one of the things that is pushed primarily more than anything is a title of Christianity, just basically, well, they were Christians. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? What that means to a Roman Catholic is different than what that means to me. What that means to a Mormon, they will call a Mormon a Christian. But is a Mormon a Christian? Well, if we look at their doctrine, then we know that Mormons are not Christians. They absolutely are not Christians. The JWs, the Jehovah's Witnesses, are called Christians in America, especially. And they are called Christians in America. But are they Christians? Well, no, they don't believe Jesus is God. They deny the Father and the Son when they deny Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. For great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the world, received up into glory. So the Bible says who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have a series here on the Jehovah Witnesses, the Watchtower of Witches, Occult Roots of the Jehovah Witnesses. This is an entire series. It's not done yet. I could continue it. History of the Jehovah's Witnesses, Bibles, Jesuits, and Automatic Writing. Doctrine of Devils, the New World Translation. I deal with the New World Translation of the Bible. Charles Taze Russell, the founder, fraud, and false prophet of the Watchtower. So when you look at these things, look at those sermons and listen to that. Listen to what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. Then, go to Mormonism, and I taught 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 messages on Mormonism, I believe. Joseph Smith, who was he? The Mormon founder. He was an astrological witch. He had a talisman. Joseph Smith, Mormon founder. He was a master mason. He took the secrets of the Masonic Lodge. He stole them. Probably part of the game. But anyway, he took them. He took the secrets. He started the Mormon religion. And he was a witch. And he was a fornicating pervert. So we have occultism of Mormonism, necromancy, and familiar spirits. Mormons worship the Jesus of the Da Vinci Code. When you read the Da Vinci Code, when you look at what they taught, it's the same thing that the Mormons, Masons taught. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. Look, this is just plain truth. They don't teach what the Bible says. Mormonism's pagan polytheism, multiple gods. They deny the Trinity and they have these multiple gods. And then the Mormon God is an evolving Adam, a polygamous pimp. This is all from reading their works, their writings. So when you start to look at these things, then what do we see? Well, they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe God's word. They're not holding to biblical salvation. Not at all. But there's this desire when you see movie stars. I had this same thing when I did my Hollywood series. Boy, did I make a bunch of people mad with that one. Hollywood Satanic Roots. That one made a lot of people mad. Why is that? Because I just told the truth about what they really were. That they don't believe the gospel. Michael Landon channeled his father. I'm going to tell you another thing. I think YouTube is like either throttling me or censoring me somehow. It's really weird. Now, I could just be making that many people mad and nobody wants to listen, and that's okay. I'm fine with that. I'm really okay. But the numbers have been really weird lately. And I thought it was really strange the way that it has been. It's funny because then I go over to Sermon Audio and I upload there and it goes crazy in like 5 minutes. So I don't know. That same here, and then I go over to there. Michael Landon's wife, yes, Michael Landon's wife got a hold of me. And she was upset with me. And then apparently his property manager got a hold of me or something and was upset with me. And then the number one fan of his fan club was upset with me. But we won't go into that. We'll save that for a hate mail Friday someday or something. Anyway. But, you know, There's other ones. I've dealt with this whole celebrity thing for a while. Let me see if I put that in there. I know I did on YouTube. Here it is right here. Anybody remember this one?
Music.
This was 2 years ago. So I've dealt with these celebrities, and I talk about it a lot. Sorry about the camera. It's really bad.
Is but. Satan. And we understand that its spirit is this. All right. Good afternoon. I have. And you live your life, but one day you're going to die, friend. One day you're going to die. Jesus did in the Tower of Siloam when he talked about those that died and perished.
Anyway, so this video right here. Deals with AC/DC Malcolm Young. I had a lot of people mad at me about that. They took the highway to hell. And I said that. Well, everybody's mad at me for saying that he took the highway to hell, but he did. I made this meme. A guy sings, "I'm on the highway to hell for 35 years and dies." I say he went there and everybody loses their minds. Because that's exactly what they did. That's right. There's letters from people. That's not the real Jason Cooley. I'm the real Jason Cooley. That's not the real Jason Cooley. You might know me from such videos as "Are You Better Than Charles Manson?" Talked about him. He was a famous man that died. Anyway, so lots of different videos there. Lots of different groups of people. And so a new movie star dies or a new popular icon dies. And here's the thing. People, I understand. They get really excited or they're really sad and they automatically want to put those people in heaven. Well, I understand that. I do. And I'm not here to trash the man. I am here to trash the doctrine. I'm here to trash the doctrine. Because there ain't a preacher worth a gob of spit that if he won't deal with the truth of these matters and tell the truth. And I have a platform to do that, so I'm going to use it to tell the truth. And not because I'm better than anybody. It is the grace of God that I'm even saved. Well, let's go to Exhibit A here. And this is LifeSite News. And LifeSite News, they were very excited about this to put this up here. Father David Barnes spreads the word that the retired star had been at Mass the morning of his death. So we're going to look at this article. January 28th, 2020. It has been confirmed that both Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna went to Mass the Sunday they died in a helicopter accident. A spokesman for the parish told media that they attended the 7 a.m. service at Our Lady, Queen of Angels, in Newport Beach, California. Both father and daughter received Holy Communion. both. Both received communion. Sports fans around the world are mourning the death of basketball star Kobe Bryant and his younger daughter in a tragic helicopter crash. The star was a practicing Catholic who attended Sunday Mass just hours before the crash. So what you have here is you have a Roman Catholic, a practicing Catholic. Kobe Bryant, 41. Young man. Younger than me. Man, I'm old. I just found out I was 43. I forgot. I thought I was 42. And then Luke was like, Pastor, you're 43. And I'm like, what? Shut up, Luke. Anyway. Archbishop Jose H. Gomez of Los Angeles stated on Twitter that he was saddened by the news of the star's passing. So very sad to hear the news of Kobe Bryant's tragic death this morning. I am praying for him and his family. May he rest in peace, and may our Blessed Mother bring comfort to his loved ones. Okay. Now, who remembers Monday? Who remembers Monday? The Blessed Mother, right? I'm just changing this title. Kobe Bryant, Celebrity Salvation, Roman Catholic Ecumenical. Oops. So nobody is making the distinction here at the doctrine. Nobody is making the distinction. But what we have here is very clear. Here is the man that they venerate as a superstar. This man, or they're venerating the fact that he went to Roman Catholic Mass. And that you should be comforted to know that Kobe Bryant went to Roman Catholic Mass. Today the Archbishop, so he says here, may he rest in peace and may our Blessed Mother Mary bring comfort to his loved ones. How can Mary bring comfort to anyone? How can she? How can Mary bring any comfort to anyone? What gives her the power to bring any comfort to anyone? Nothing. Not God. Not God. God doesn't give Mary any power to be a mediator. We know who the mediator between God and man is. The man Christ Jesus. No one else is the mediator. No one else has been given that authority. No one else is given that place. But what do they teach? They're teaching that Mary is the comforter. Who's supposed to give you comfort when you need it? But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. It is the Holy Ghost that brings comfort to the heart of the believer. It is not Mary that is given any office for that at all whatsoever. Today, the Archbishop told Catholic News Service that Bryant was a very good Catholic, a faithful Catholic, whom he had often met. I remember one time going to the Lakers practice. I had a good conversation with him, Gomez told CNS. We are praying for the eternal repose of his soul. Wait. What do you mean? What do you mean you're praying for the eternal repose of? I got to look that word up because I don't know what that word means. Let me look it up. Repose. The eternal repose of his soul. What does that mean exactly? I have no clue. I never heard of that before. The state of rest, sleep, or tranquility. So, praying for the eternal repose of his soul. So, they're praying for his eternal rest. Also, his daughter who also died. And for the family. It must be a very challenging time for the family. So, there is to be a praying for the eternal repose of one's soul. That's Roman Catholicism. That's what they're stating needs to take place or is happening. Yes, purgatory. But is that in the Bible? My friends, listen to me. I'm going to tell you the trap of the devil is for you and I to have a religion, right? To have a religion that what does it do? What that religion does is it teaches that you pray for somebody after they're dead. No. We need to pray for them while they're alive, while there is yet hope in them. That's when we pray. We don't pray after they're dead. There's nothing to pray for. Those decisions are already made. Right? Those decisions are already made. So what we need to do is be focused on praying for them now. Not later. Not when it's too late. But now. Now is the time, beloved. Now is the day of salvation. That's the time. Not when it's too late. Not when it's all over. That's pretty cool. Hey, that's pretty cool. A brother and a friend of mine and a listener. A brother from Chicago sent me this. I told him I wanted something with Lexus on it because he worked for Lexus. And he sent me this really neat bottle, man. This water bottle. Stainless steel. Nice stuff. It's pretty cool, huh? Anyway, praise the Lord. It's very thoughtful. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. So, hey Ben, Brother Mike, that was a surprise. You timed it just right. I don't know how you did it. It must be a very challenging time for his family, since Bryant was considered by many to be one of the best basketball players in history. A larger-than-life figure, Bryant thrilled fans of the Los Angeles Lakers during 20 seasons he played for them. Named the best high school basketball player in the U.S., he entered the National Basketball Association immediately after graduation and helped win the Lakers 5 national championships. Father David Barnes spread the word that the retired star had been at the Mass the morning of his death. As sad as Kobe's death is, the Boston University chaplain tweeted, "A friend texted me to tell me that the friend of hers attends the same Catholic church as Kobe and saw him this morning at Mass." Friend, if you are depending on going to church on Sunday as your salvation and taking communion or taking the Mass, you will die and go to hell. You will die in your sins. No preacher can save you. No communion can save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. Only Christ can save you. That's it. Only Jesus. And an understanding of relationship with him, and that has nothing to do with Mary. Nothing at all. As sad as Kobe's death is, the Boston University chaplain tweeted, "A friend texted me today to tell me that a friend of hers attended the same Mass. There could be nothing more consoling to those who mourn than to know that a loved one worshiped God just before his death, because worshiping God is what heaven is." See, here's the thing. Worshiping God, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's look at what the scriptures say about that. God is a spirit. John 4:24 is talking to the Samaritan woman. Jesus is. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman saith to him, "I know that the Messiah cometh," which is called Christ. "When he is come, he will tell us of all things." Jesus saith to her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Jesus corrects her for having the wrong worship. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said that a woman, "Believe me, the hour cometh." "When ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. This is the work of the Holy Ghost. Yesterday, Catholic actress and singer Christine Ballastora posted a story on Instagram, which she credited the basketball star for gentlemanly behavior at a weekday Mass in Holy Family. "Right as Mass begins, I see a huge shadow in my right peripheral vision, hear a decently loud creak from probably a big man. I double look to see it was Kobe Bryant in the same pew as me on the other end. I just went about my normal praying and singing as usual, because he, like all of us, came to pray. Thank God I had the veil so I could stay focused on Jesus, not his insanely talented basketball player my whole family has looked up to and watched our whole lives. As he went up to communion, he waited for me to go. If you grew up in the Catholic Church, you understand this is a respectful thing men do in churches as a sign of respect to women." Well, I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. The Catholic News Agency reported that the sports star was raised in a Catholic family and credited his Catholic faith for getting him through a difficult time in his life. He was arrested after being accused of raping a woman who worked in a Colorado hotel he was staying in. Bryan admitted to having relations with his accuser, but denied having committed a crime. Although the criminal charges were dropped, Bryan offered an apology for his behavior and paid in a settlement to the woman. He said in 2015 that a priest helped him with him through the shame and the terror of a possible prison sentence. Was I afraid of going to jail? Yes, it was 25 to life, man. I was terrified. The one thing that really helped me during that process, I'm Catholic. I grew up Catholic. My kids are Catholic, was talking to a priest. It was actually kind of funny. He looks at me and says, did you do it? And I said, of course not. Then he asked, do you have a good lawyer? And I'm like, yeah, he's phenomenal. So then he just said, let it go. Move on. God's not going to give you anything you can't handle, and it's in his hands now. This is something you can't control, so let it go. Well, if you trust in Christ, and you have salvation and eternal life, but that's not what Rome does. That's not what they teach. Rome teaches salvation in the sacraments. That's what they teach. It says here, Bryant's fan paid the star credit in her Instagram. We talked about that. Oh, his most inspiring trait was his decision to turn to his faith in God and receive God's mercy and to be a better man after a regretful decision. Him and his wife do so much great work with their family. And you know what? Catholics do the greatest works in the world. Catholics do more good works than probably Baptists do and other people do in that sense. When you look at the monetary thing and you look at their ability to be able to do that, a lot of times it's much more. And they have very giving hearts. Why? Because they think they're giving their way to heaven. They're giving their way to heaven. So you better believe they're going to do the best they can. Some of those poor people are giving everything they can to Rome. That's how Rome's been worth trillions. They stole land. They stole money. They stole everything for years from people. If you think you're going to work for salvation, you're going to work your butt off. I'll tell you that right now. They married at St. Edward the Confessor Catholic Church in Dana Point, California, shortly after Vanessa turned 18. Vanessa stood by her husband after he was accused of sexual assault, and although she filed for divorce in 2011, citing irreconcilable differences, the couple worked through their problems and saved their marriage. So, now, we know the doctrine of Roman Catholic Church. We've heard that you got to go to the Blessed Mother, right? We've heard those things that have been taught. We understand that that their version of grace is not the same as what we believe. Right? We know that salvation is of the Lord. It is not of works of righteousness which we have done. It has nothing to do with any of those things. It has to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. It has nothing to do with us having to earn that or having to take communion or baptism or any of those other things. But that's not what they believe. What they believe is that you take the sacraments and we'll pray for your soul. We'll pray you out of purgatory. Did you see what he said? He said that that I'm praying for him and his family. What are you praying for him for? He's dead. He's praying for him, but he's already dead, so why would you pray for him? May he rest in peace, and may our Blessed Mother bring comfort. Praying for his soul's everlasting comfort. So he's burning in purgatory for a while. He's in purgatory. That's not the gospel that I preach. The Bible says to be absent the body is to be present in the Lord. We have a no-so salvation. We have a no-so salvation. We don't have to wonder about that. Now, we can have doubts. We're going to have doubts and fears about things. We're going to not feel saved sometimes, all those things. But what do you believe? If you believe this, then you're not believing what the Bible says. I believe what God's Word says about eternal life. I want to show you this. Here's another article about this. I felt extremely blessed by the God-given talent. New stories of Kobe Bryant's faith emerge. Isn't that something? So nobody knew him as a man of faith before he died. But when he dies, he's all of a sudden becomes a saint. Isn't that just like Roman Catholicism? Isn't that just like what they do? What they teach? More stories about Kobe Bryant's faith are coming out in the aftermath of the tragic helicopter accident that killed him, his daughter, and seven other passengers in California last weekend. Leaders of a sports ministry that was involved in outreach at the 2012 London Olympics are revealing an encounter they had with Bryant. In that conversation, he told them he had asked Jesus to be a savior. Now, I want you to look at this. Because this is the problem and the confusion that comes in. And this is the shallow evangelism that permeates society today. If these people are calling this a ministry, they should stop doing it. Because if you're just going there and asking people one-liners, and that's it, that is not thorough theology, that is not thorough biblical salvation, and that is not biblical preaching. Here's what they say. We were telling different guys about Crossfire Basketball Ministry, and Kobe was there. Randy Shepherd of Crossfire Ministry told the news. And I said, Kobe, have you ever invited the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life as your Lord and Savior? A question I've asked a lot of people, from kids to the president. And he said, yes, I've done that. Yes, I've done that. We've said to Kobe, have you ever accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, put your faith in Jesus? He said, yes. And we gave him a Crossfire testimony gospel card, and he took it graciously and took a picture with us. I never heard him talk about it or never heard him say he was a Christian publicly. I pray he did know the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior and Lord. If you don't know Jesus today, I pray you will repent and receive Jesus. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? praying for the Bryant family and friends of Kobe today. Now, listen, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Most people are going to say that. Well, yeah, I've done that. Most people will say that. But is there evidence of it in their life? Is there evidence of saving faith in their life? Because what this man is doing, what this ministry is doing like that, is saying, okay, well, if you walk up and ask people that, half America's done that. But have they ever seen their lost condition before the Lord? Have they ever been lost and dead in trespasses and sins and know that they're guilty before God? Know that they're wicked sinners before God? Was the law a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ? Where they showed their sin before God. Did they know that there is none righteous, no, not one? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for the wages of sin is death. Was that given to them? Was that knowledge extended to them? When they were preaching the gospel to them, did they take their time with them or just say, hey, that's shallow evangelism to just be like, pray this prayer. Have you prayed this prayer? You know, did it humble them before God? Did they become obedient to the scriptures? Is it a faith that changed them and made them a new creature? The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So did it change them? If he's trained up a Catholic, then clearly he does not believe what the gospel says. He said, I want to be remembered as a player that didn't waste a moment, that I didn't waste a day, and I felt extremely blessed by the God-given talent. At the same time, I didn't take it for granted. If I could be remembered as a person that was born with a lot of talent, but did everything he could to try to overachieve and lived every day as if he was the 12th guy on the bench, I think that is a very powerful message to have and something that hopefully the players now and later choose to embody as well. How does that give God any glory? One of the last things Bryant reportedly did before the fatal crash was visit Our Lady Queens of Angels Catholic Church. We shook hands. Here's what Father Stephen Salat said. We shook hands and I saw that he had blessed himself because there was a little holy water on his forehead. Oh. There was a little holy water on his forehead, so he had blessed himself. Let's look at this. Holy water is that has been blessed by a member of the clergy or a religious figure to use for cleansing prior to a baptism and sprinkling and spiritual cleansing is common in several religions. Not biblical Christianity. The use of the holy waters as sacramental for protection against evil is common among Lutheran angelicals. Wow. I guess I'm going to say something a little bold here. People use that. Look, it says here, I saw that he had blessed himself because there was a little holy water on his forehead, so I knew that he had gone to the chapel to pray and came out and blessed himself. Sounds like that holy water cursed him. Sounds like it was a curse to him, not a blessing. A blessing is a prayer, a sacramental. By blessing water, Catholic priests praise God and ask him for his grace. As a reminder of baptism, Catholic Christians dip their fingers in the holy water and make the signs of the cross when entering the church. The liturgy may begin on Sunday with the rite of the blessing and sprinkling holy water, in which holy water is sprinkled upon the congregation. It is called aspersion. The ceremony dates back to the 9th century. It is a brush or branch used to sprinkle the water. Does anybody know where that's in the Bible? Oh, it's not. It's not in there. The use of holy water and making a sign of the cross when entering a church reflects a renewal of baptism, a cleansing of venial sin. It's a lesser sin that does not result in the complete separation from God and eternal damnation in hell, as an unrepentant mortal sin would. As well as providing protection against evil. Look, people! Oh my goodness! I'm going to blow it up for you. It was for protection. As well as providing protection against evil. So in other words, I mean, I want you to think about this for a second. So much so do I want you to think about it. That I'm actually going to give you a chance to do that for a second. I want you to think about the fact that he did this.
What is the best kept secret?
I didn't even know S.C. Simonti had those on there. Tell me that's not weird. Anyway.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Sitting on the porch of his watching and waiting, watching for you. Come on.
Okay, well, listen, I want you to think about that for a second, because here's this holy water. This is what witches do. You know that, right? This is what witches do. So, I'm not sure who, Andre, I'm not sure who you're talking about as far as the books go. I don't know. I guess I missed something. I must have missed who you were talking about. Anyway, by his holy water and by your precious blood, wash away all my sins, O Lord. By this holy water and by your precious blood, wash away all my sins, O Lord. Is that biblical salvation? No. No. It is Christ's blood. Here's the problem. And. There's the and. Although not actually holy water, it's been blessed by a priest. Some Catholics believe the water from specific shrines, such as Lourdes, can bring healing. There are three current formulas for blessing water, which a priest may choose from to use. Blessed are you, Lord, all-powerful God, who in Christ, living water, salvation, blessed, transformed us. Grant that when we are sprinkled with the water or make use of it, we'll be refreshed inwardly by the power of the Holy Spirit and continue to walk in the new life we received at baptism. Where's that in the Bible? It's not. Lord, Holy Father, look with kindness on your children, redeemed by your Son and born to a new life by water and Holy Spirit. Grant that those who are sprinkled with this water be renewed in body and spirit, and make a pure offering of themselves to you. Now, okay, so here this is replacing the Holy Ghost. Right? Because, and also the washing of water by the word. O God, creator of all things, by water and the Holy Spirit, you have given the universe its beauty and fashioned to us in your own image. Bless and purify your church, O Christ the Lord. From your pierced side, you gave us your sacraments as fountains of salvation. No, the sacraments were not given as fountains of salvation. Bless and purify your church, O priest, or the priest says, O Holy Spirit, giver of life, from the baptismal font of the church, you have formed us into new creation in the waters of rebirth. See? Catholic saints have written about the power of holy water as a force that repels evil. Saint Teresa of Avila, a doctor of the church who reported visions of Jesus and Mary, was a strong believer in the power of holy water and wrote that she used it with success to repel evil and temptations. I know by frequent experience there's nothing which puts the devil to flight like holy water. Really? What's the Bible say? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, not with a bottle of holy water. You know what that reminds me of? Do you know what that reminds me of? This is taking me back to a flashback of the 80s, man, of the late 80s. You know where it's taking me to? I'll show you. When I was a kid, they had a video game which I do not recommend because it would be considered demonic. See the holy water? If you threw the holy water in the castle in Castlevania when I was a kid, you were Simon Belmont, I think it was, and You were Castlevania, and guess what? You took the holy water, and you threw the holy water at the ghosts and the devils, and it killed them. See? See how the holy water was to kill them? That's what it reminds me of. That's what they were teaching in that video game. That, oh, if you're going to fight Dracula, you need the holy water. If you're going to storm Castlevania, then you need the holy water. You know what that holy water does? It anoints you with devils. That's what it does. Look. Look what he said. Look where the water was. Think about it for a second, will ya? We shook hands and I saw that he had blessed himself because there was a little holy water on his forehead. You see that? He was marked. He was marked on his forehead. By the way, does anybody else think it's weird that his daughter was 13? 9 people died, 13 years old. Saint Faustina in her diary said she once sprinkled a dying sister with holy water to drive away demons. Although this was wrong to do since it was the priest's duty, she remarked, holy water is indeed a great help to the dying. Are you getting this? Am I the only one here that's like, are you kidding me? St. Faustina said that in holy water and its significance for Catholics, Henry Thyler states that in addition to being a strong force in repelling evil, holy water has the twofold benefit of providing grace for both body and soul. Let's see here. See if I can find that for you.
Transmission came in at about 9:44 a.m. He said he was climbing to 2,300 feet to avoid a cloud layer.
I was actually looking for the cartoon that they predicted or whatever, and they probably pulled it everywhere, so you can't see it, obviously. But here's the thing about it, okay? To think about. Here's the thing of what you think about, okay? The fact that, do I think man can do that? No, but I think the devil can do it. I think Satan can do it. But I don't think man has the power to orchestrate all that. But I think devils do. But let's look at this thing of holy water. The new ritual Romanium excludes the exorcism prayer on the water. Exorcised salt used to be added to the holy water as well. Priests could continue to use their older form if they wish, as confirmed by Pope Benedict, which states, what earlier generations held as sacred remains sacred and great for us too. So they say the Eastern Orthodox use it. Holy water is used frequently in rites of blessings and exorcisms and water for baptism. Do you know what happens with these exorcists? When we talked about Roman Catholic exorcism, what we found out was, hey, everything they're doing is just putting more devils in people. So the devil uses those people. There are two rites for blessing the holy water, the great blessings of waters, which is held on the Feast of Theophany, and the baptisms of the lesser blessing waters. Holy water is drunk by the faithful after it is blessed, and the common custom for the pious to drink holy water every morning in the monasteries. It's also drunk in connection with consuming antidorn. Anglicans, they use some holy water too. Lutherans used it. Is for the baptism of infants, which is not in the Bible. Other religions that use it, the Sikhs use it, for the holy water used in baptism ceremony known as the Amrit Sanskar. Look at this. In Hinduism, water represents God in a spiritual sense, which is the central theme of the mantra Pushpam. Bathing in holy water is thus a key and element of Hinduism. The idea of blessed water is used in virtually all Buddhist traditions. Why? Same Antichrist spirit. The Sunni Muslims, look, have a variety of holy water. It is the Zamzam water that comes from the spring of Kaaba. The drinking of the healing water is a practice in various denominations of Shia Islam. In the tradition of the Twelver Shia, many dissolve the dust of sacred locations. It's a cure for illness, spiritual or physical. The Ismaili tradition involves the practice of drinking water blessed by the imam of the time. This water is taken in the name of the imam. It has deep spiritual significance. Oh, look! In Wicca! Other ceremonial magic traditions, a bowl of salt is blessed and a small amount of stirred into a bowl of water that has been ritually purified. In some traditions of Wicca, this mixture of water and salt symbolizes the brine of the sea, which is regarded as the womb of the goddess and the source of all life on earth. The mixture is consecrated and used in many religious ceremonies and magic rituals. And then it was used against vampires. So, back to this. I think that's the one. Oh, this one. So then he was marked in his forehead before he went. And I mean, I find it interesting that this is well known, that this priest is making this known. So I knew he had gone to the chapel to pray and came out and blessed himself. And then we spoke for a minute, shook hands, and then off he went. He was quite a man of faith. A longtime Orange County resident and parishioner in our diocese, Kobe would frequently attend Mass and sit in the back of the church so that his presence would not distract the people from focusing on Christ's presence. Oh. Oh, you mean the bread and the wine. You don't mean Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Bryant was one of the most talented basketball players ever, known for his fiery competitiveness. Okay. Bryant's career and personal life were not without controversy. That included prominent spats with fellow players, a sexual assault charge that was later dismissed right before it would have gone to trial and a settlement with the accuser. That sexual incident led his wife to file for divorce. After several years, they reconciled. I'm glad for that. During the 2015 interview with GQ, he said he was confronting the poor life choices he had made and returning to his faith for guidance. Bishop T.D. Jakes spoke about Bryant's faults and how turning to God helped him to understand, oh, T.D.! We can't forget about OTD. Right? We remember TD.
If we open it up, it's going to ooze, and if we open it up, it's going to leak, and if we open it up, it's going to smell, and we open it up, it's going to hurt, but if we don't open it up, if we don't open it up, it won't get better. It won't get better. It'll just stay bitter, and if it stays bitter, it won't get better. It'll stay bitter. It'll stay bitter and resentful and angry because nobody told you it was going to be like this.
They didn't tell you you can't make millions of dollars and sit in a church and have a Ferrari and all this stuff and buy your wife a really expensive car and then go fornicate with everybody. What's the matter with them not telling you that?
I don't even want to open this up in public because I know how deep it is. But the Lord, while the anointing is passing by, there's too much anointing in this room to minister to everybody else and leave you sitting over there festering and festering and
The more he describes this, I think it might be the spirit of satanic zits. I think it's the spirit of zits. Because he's talking about popping a zit. So, zits fester like that, but if you open them up, they're going to ooze. And if you open them up, they're going to get... So I think he's coming against the spirit of zits. That's what I think is happening here.
Festering and festering, especially, you said it in a joking way, but especially when the spirit of suicide hangs around your house trying to get you back.
Ow! 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 I called it out!
And it's over. He called it out, man. It's done. It's done. That's the TD, Jakes. That's the TD. All right? That's him. Bishop T.D. Jakes. Open it up. And it's going to ooze. People like him, here's what T.D. Jakes said. People like him have become the gladiators of our era. These players reach that high to celebrity status. I also think that his failures and flaws add to the affection of America. We like people who are human enough to have flaws and hero enough to overcome them. We watch him overcome them. TD, given that cover. Oh, here he is.
I had to stop watching it. Yeah. Every time I see it, I get real sad, like it's my family member. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really a big sports guy.
Yeah.
But you have to recognize that people like him have become the gladiators of our era.
Yeah.
These football players and basketball players who reach that height of celebrity status. And I also think that his failures and his flaws add to the affection of America because...
Yeah, because people say he was not a perfect man.
No.
That's been pointed out.
And none of us are.
None of us are.
And the reality is we like people who are human enough to have flaws and hero enough to overcome them.
We
watched him overcome them.
Yes.
So we were rooting for him to go on to his legacy.
And at this time, too, Pastor.
Yeah.
As he was starting a new chapter in his life. That also makes it. And his daughter was with him.
And that's the part that rips my chest out. I've got two daughters.
And the photographs of him and his daughter, it's like so hard.
So it's so shocking and it's so sudden. It's a moment when people, if they're people of faith, might say, maybe I'm not so faithful anymore. How did this happen?
Yeah, well, you know, if you are rooted and grounded in your faith, you use your faith to get through the darkness rather than using the darkness to challenge your faith. So it depends on your level of faith. People who are just lightly.
By the way, what he said there is actually true. Now, what he said there is actually true because your faith is used to get you through the dark, not your dark to do that. So that's not a false statement. That's the problem with these guys. They're so stinking shifty, you know, with what they do. Because a lot of what he's saying, a lot of that point is not wrong. It's just what faith is to them and what faith is in the Word of God is different. That's the problem. They don't preach the faith once delivered unto the saints. When you see this guy taking Catholic communion and everything else and not, you can't attribute biblical salvation to that. It's not.
In faith, then it blows it to smithereens. But people who are rooted and grounded, we've seen death, we've seen hard times, we've seen tragedy, and it is our faith that gives us the resilience to go on. The other thing that I said off camera that I think is important, what can we do?
Yeah.
We can't change the situation, but what we can do is hug a little closer the people in our lives that we love, not take them for granted. Take the time out of our busy schedule to really get back focused on what matters, the people in your life, the people that you care about, and to not take them for granted because every moment.
And I agree with that, too. I think that ought to do that, too, as well. It's just. More truth and lies mix. Anyway. So, this is the... this is the teaching that they are pushing. It's an ecumenical push of a gospel that is not based on the scriptures. That is not sound, that is not sound biblical doctrine of salvation. At all, it's not. And let's see. Let's see if I can find a little bit more on this here. I wanted to show you. Let's see. You know, there's a lot of people that really want to push this man into heaven. They want to push him straight forward into heaven. And there's no Bible to believe that. There's nothing in his life to believe that, or to make anybody believe that that's scriptural. So you see it talk about holy water, communion, and but look at the ecumenical movement. The Christian Perspective News, right? Well, this isn't even Christian Perspective, really. Because in order to be Christian Perspective, you've got to understand the gospel. So, what you find is a different gospel being pushed, and that we got to lay down all of those gospel distinctives, all those gospel distinctives that you and I hold to, that we have to lay them down in order to get along with all these people and just say, hey, man, they're saved, they're Christians. But the problem is that they're not. And you and I have to, you and I have to be clear about that. We have to be clear about the gospel. We have to be clear about what the Bible says about eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We have to be clear about that. We can't cross the lines with that. No, if Kobe was a practicing Catholic, and if he believes what Rome taught, he is not in heaven, but he is in hell. And his daughter would not be in heaven. She would be in hell. And the rest of those people that were on there would be in hell. Because that's not the gospel that we preach. We do not look for holy water. We do not look for signs, outward signs. We do not look for baptism to save us. The Bible says, marvel not that you must be born again. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The law is a schoolmaster to bring men to Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. All of those other things that are added to that are not the gospel. The holy water along with the blood of Jesus. No, I can't do anything to help me be saved, and I can't do anything to keep me saved. It is Christ that does the saving. It is the atonement that was made on Calvary for our sins. It is Jesus. The day you got saved, you knew there was nothing else but Jesus is what you needed. You knew you were lost and dead in trespasses and sins. You knew that you had no hope in yourself. I knew when I heard the gospel, and I heard it clear, after I'd heard it my whole life, really. But when I was 25 years old and that old preacher preached, I remembered it. It stuck with me all night that night. I went home and I examined myself and I said, you know what? I don't remember the day that I got saved. I don't remember what happened. Everybody tells me I said a prayer when I was 5, but I don't remember it. Something as important as eternal life, you're going to remember it. You're going to remember the event. It's going to be stuck in your mind forever when Jesus saved you and changed you. You may doubt and have fears and all kinds of things like that through your Christian life, but you're never going to forget that time that God met you, showed you your lost condition, brought you to a place of repentance and faith in Christ. And that it wasn't baptism, it wasn't water, it wasn't holy water, it wasn't communion, it wasn't the priest, it wasn't anybody. But Christ Jesus in you, the hope of glory, is Christ. It is the gospel. It is nothing else. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the other thing, you see all these props from Roman Catholicism about fighting Satan. But the Bible, again, I know I've went to this scripture many times, but it's right there. There's nothing about holy water. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, not the holy water. The shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. This is the spiritual armor that you're given. And no man can take this armor from you. You understand that? There might be a church out there that refuses to baptize you, but that doesn't change whether you have eternal life through Jesus Christ. There may be a church out there that won't give you communion, but that doesn't change the fact of whether you're born again by the Spirit of God. They can't take that from you. When the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It's Jesus that makes men free. He's the one that makes men free. We cannot free ourselves. It is Christ that makes men free. It is Christ that saves. It is Christ that sanctifies. It is Christ who is the justifier of man. And if Christ, and if Kobe Bryant did not believe that gospel, if Kobe Bryant did not believe that gospel, the one that is found in the scriptures, and he trusted in anything else. And you and I are the same way if we trust in anything else. We will not grow in the Spirit. We will not have the power of God. We will not have anything of God. In that sense. But if Kobe Bryant believed anything else other than the gospel, then he died and went to hell. And by nature, if you're trusting in holy water and priests and everybody else to save you and not Christ alone, not the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you never saw your lost condition before and understood that and turned to Christ alone for salvation. The Bible says that you will die in your sins. And it's very likely that that he took a curse upon himself. It's very likely. That's very likely. That's what he did. It's very likely that his time was up. Obviously, it was that way. And God was finished with his life. I see no indication that he understood the gospel. So, anyway, sadly, and the same thing goes for you or I, if we do not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we don't repent and put our faith and trust in Christ alone for eternal life, there has to be a time when you saw your lost condition before God. When you saw yourself dead in trespasses and sins, you knew you were guilty of sin. You knew that you deserved to go to hell. You knew you were going to hell. And that conviction came upon you. And then God's Spirit showed you Christ, who is the Redeemer, and saved your, and brought you to a place of repentance and faith, and saved your soul. And that's the beginning of a wonderful work that he'll do in your life and your heart. And that work will continue all the longer you're saved. The closer you get to God, the more you'll see the holes in yourself. The more God begins to teach you and deal with you. Years later, 18 years ago, and God's still showing me things and have weeded inward corruptions out of my life for years. Outward ones as well, but inward ones. God weeded them out for years. And that's a lifetime work of sanctification that God does. But he justifies man immediately, and he sanctifies them right away, but all through their life, that sanctification will be progressive in their life. God will weed out things out of their lives, teach them, train them, change them, mold them, and make them new creatures in Christ. Amen. Anyway. That is the gospel that we preach. So, well, I think I'm done here. I think I did everything. Unless anybody has any questions, I'll give you a chance to ask any questions if you have any. When you'll post videos about keeping the kids. I don't know. Luke's the one that does that, and they're moving right now, so it's really kind of hard to get those videos up. But if you want to go to Sermon Audio, the first two lessons are on Sermon Audio. The third one can be put on probably sometime this week, and we'll put that one on. But it's just, I don't know when the videos will be up, when they'll be ready. I'm not sure yet about that one. Amen. All right. Let's see. So, yeah. I like this song, too. This is a good one.
She stands on the front porch, teardrops in her eyes, watches as the young man says goodbye. Silently she breathes a prayer that God would protect him when he's gone. And last of all, she speaks to him alone. Son, remember, you can always come.
I could do a future reminder in YouTube for upcoming live streams. Do you mean like a video, or do you mean like there's an actual reminder that you can set? Because I have no idea how to do any of that. I've never looked into it actually before at all, so I'm not sure about that one. Anyway, well, listen, I'm going to get out of here. I've got some praying to do today, and then I'm going to spend the afternoon with my wife and with a couple from church, and got a busy day tomorrow. Pray for us. Tomorrow we'll be preaching. Tomorrow night we'll be preaching a night parade, a winter carnival parade at night. We'll be trying to track the whole parade. Then after the parade, we're going to be preaching. So pray for us that the Lord would bless us. And also pray for our ministry, finances, and things like that. Always around the first of the month, we have over $3,000 that is due all right away. So, and it's due like tomorrow. So it happens that way. That's the way it goes. But so pray for us that the Lord would meet our needs and take care of us, and that He would provide for us all the things that we need, and that everyone be blessed there. That all of our needs be met and everything. We've got pray for sickness and pray for health for, or pray for health for everybody that's going through any sickness or anything like that. And somebody asked me a question. What would you say to someone who just received a promotion at their job, but now the new position causes very little time for devotional time to the Lord? Well, they're going to have to make time for it. Otherwise, they shouldn't do it. So they have to make time for it. That's what God would want them to do. That's what God commands them to do. So, you know, it's been my experience that most of the time it isn't people don't have a problem with having time. They don't make time. You make time for what's important. It's an excuse to say that I don't have any time. No, you make time for what's important. And you make time for the Lord and for devotion and to put the Lord first. You make time to do that. That's the difference. So I would say that they have a priority problem. That's what mostly that is. That's what it always is. Priority. It's prioritizing and putting certain things first, putting the Lord first, putting what God has commanded us to do first, those things. So that's what I would say. Anyway, all right, everybody. Have a good weekend. Please be in prayer for us, and we will talk to you soon on Monday, Lord willing. I might broadcast tomorrow from out there if it's not too cold and my phone doesn't freeze, but we'll see what happens. Have a good night.